treasures are often discovered in the attic, and an Atlanta Christmas is among them. It was at Eddie's Attic in 1966, under the title Christmas in the Attic, that an Atlanta Christmas made its live performance debut in audio form. The executive producer, David Benedict, and writer Brad Strickland join us now in the studio. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Reard. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, great to have you. So why radio?
Well, radio, as Thomas E. Fuller, who was one of the founders of the Atlanta Radio Theater Company, always said, is the theater of the mind. We can do things that no one else can do in any form, as long as we have an audience that's ready to listen and to imagine. And radio is a wonderful way of stimulating the imagination. We can carry our audience to Mars. We can put them on the notorious mile-long bronze submarine that Thomas once wrote for a piece, or anywhere in between. And an Atlanta Christmas is a celebration of the city, its traditions, and, of course, of Christmas time.
Well, taking us back to the golden age of radio, something Garrison Keillor certainly achieved with A Prairie Home Companion, is it the communal aspect of folks gathered to listen that you find especially appealing, David?
That's nice and nostalgic, but we find that lately that's not actually happening all that much. We do live performances where we do get audiences who will come in and listen to us as a group, but there's also quite a bit of individual listening going on through podcasts and through other means of distribution for the radio. So there is that nostalgia factor that's definitely in play, but the art form has matured. It has definitely come into the modern age in terms of modern distribution and in terms of modern listening habits.
Well, then we have to ask, since the technical aspect has evolved so radically, how has that affected the content of what you do? How do you keep an Atlanta Christmas from being a nostalgic piece and give it meaning for our time?
Well, an Atlanta Christmas definitely is a nostalgic piece. Some of our other work strives to advance further into the future. But Atlanta Christmas is about memories. It is specifically about Christmas memories, about the season in Atlanta. And so it definitely plays very heavily on the nostalgia. We've got a few other pieces that are part of an Atlanta Christmas because we keep adding to it. An Atlanta Christmas is told in a series of short vignettes. And so each year when we do the live performance, we'll take one out and put another one in. And so that's one way that the show continues to advance, is it does play a lot on the nostalgia, but it also advances by staying current with the modern times.
Yes, we keep it fresh. And the pieces range all the way from really thoughtful, serious pieces that will make you think about the spirit of the season to just raucous fun. Celebrating the joy and the childlike wonder of Christmas.
Well, this seems like it might be a good time to listen to a bit. What do you recommend, David?
Well, let's start at the beginning. Let's go with the opening. So this would be how the show starts every year.
Welcome, welcome one and all to our family Christmas. To every family Christmas that ever was or ever will be, we have it all for you. Behold the traditional Christmas tree weighted down with ornaments and decorations.
What's that? You can't see it? Well, this is a radio Christmas, a Christmas of the imagination. But then aren't they all?
It's a tremendous tree ablaze with twinkling Christmas lights. Christmas presents piled to the ceiling and back to the wall. Cookies and cakes, and enough punch to float the Scarlet O'Hara clear from Stone Mountain to Peachtree Center.
What else do you remember most about Christmas? Families? We're all family. We can't help it. Everyone's family at Christmas.
You want holly? We've got holly all over the place. You want wreaths? We've got wreaths. You want snow?
No.
Well, we don't got snow. This is an Atlanta Christmas, a Southern Christmas, and the one thing you don't get in the South is snow. Sorry. You want a white Christmas? Then I suggest you try New Hampshire or Vermont or Buffalo. Buffalo's very nice for snow, or so I've been told.
We have one other thing for you, one thing that we all want at this most joyous time of the year. We have memories.
Memories of Christmases past, memories of our cities past, and memories of our own. The sweet and bittersweet remembrances that make all we have ever had or ever will have crisp and clean and new again. Christmas is memories.
What is uniquely Southern or uniquely Atlanta about an Atlanta Christmas?
Well, the original vision that Thomas Fuller wrote traced the tradition of the celebration of Christmas through the years. And it began back in the earliest days of Atlanta with the very first Christmas tree that was ever put up in Atlanta. People think about the Christmas tree as something that has always been, but there was a time when it was the first Christmas tree in Atlanta. And so we have a whole piece about what it would be like if a father and his children conspired to put a Christmas tree up in the parlor room without telling his wife. Mm-hmm.
Do we actually know when the first Christmas tree in Atlanta went up?
There's a lot of speculation about it, and we cover that a little in the introduction to the piece. But it's a very fun little piece, which unfortunately we're not performing this year, but a very fun little piece where the wife comes in and says, "Jacob Coltrane, what is this?" And the husband says, "What is what?" And she says, "What is this thing in my parlor room?" And he's like, "Ah, that is a tree."
Okay.
And then it proceeds from there. So we have the first Christmas tree in Atlanta, and then we have a piece that takes place in the Depression, which we are performing this year. Which
wonderful is piece, too.
Called Cut Out Christmas, which is about a family that cannot afford to buy presents for each other. And so the wife comes up with a very clever little idea, which I'm not going to spoil, and to be able to, for them to be able to give things to each other for the holidays. We have a piece called... And now my mind went blank. we have a piece called, The Experts, where we talk about the fact that we don't normally get snow in Atlanta, but we do get ice. And what happens when people try to drive on that?
Not good.
Usually not. And we've also got Davy Crockett and Me, which is another piece that we're performing this year, which is about how television impacted the celebration of Christmas in the 50s.
Yeah, let's talk a bit about that, because the idea, the nostalgic appeal of a family in a living room gathered mm-hmm. around listening to the radio is a sweet sort of mental image. Why is that different from people watching TV together?
Radio is more interactive. It engages the audience in a different way than television does. Television, I regard as a very passive medium. You can sit and watch it and do other things while you're watching it. You can get up and go to the kitchen or do whatever and then come back, and the visual element will help you to regain your mm-hmm. touch for what's going on in the story at the time. Radio requires concentration, but it rewards that concentration by giving you much more vivid mental images of what's going on in the scene, because it's happening in your own head. You're not being told what this room looks like. You can envision it for yourself based on the cues that the audio dramatists are giving you.
You take audio drama very seriously, David Bennett.
I've been doing it for 20 years, and as of right now, it's my primary focus in my life.
And how difficult is it to find work?
It can be very difficult. Audio drama is experiencing a resurgence at the moment, but it's still regarded as what we refer to in the company as a moribund art form. And as a result, one of the primary challenges that we have is getting younger audiences to understand mm-hmm. what it is.
And how do you do that?
Often we play them a sample, because for certain people, we're able to call back to the original old-time radio shows. We're like, oh, we're like The Shadow, or mm-hmm. oh, we're like War of the Worlds. And people will be like, oh, yes, now I understand. But for younger people who have never been exposed to that kind of old-time radio, often we have to just give them an example of it. And so we actually have a podcast that people can listen to that has free samples of the work that we've been doing up to this point, so that people can say, and the reaction we get a lot of the time is, oh, That's the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, you know, I think that the time for your resurgence is here because there are a lot more people listening, and young people in particular, listening to podcasts, on-demand listening. Radio is not destination listening like it used to be, as much as we hope that it might remain so. That isn't the reality. And for the consumer, that's a good thing for the most part.
Yeah.
Well, for any of your younger listeners who are curious about this, if they own a computer machine, they can go to artc.org, and they'll find all sorts of samples of the work that ARTC does.
Let's have another sample of some sound. What do you recommend?
All right, well, we're going to play a very short piece from a play that we're going to be doing this year called Blue Hanna Christmas Carol. It is a retelling of the Charles Dickens Christmas Carol story, but it's got a little bit of a mistaken identity and a little bit of a Jewish twist.
Okay, go for it. The challah would be a Jewish twist in a bread.
Oh! Was that Santa I hear in my kitchen? I swear I never thought I'd ever say that out loud. Sweet Christmas, is a giant rabbi surrounded by food in my kitchen. Who in the name of acid trance root all for you?
Why, I'm the spirit of Hanukkah as it is. Oh, ho, ho, ho! I have come to show you how the chosen people all over the city are enjoying Hanukkah with their families and in their hearts. Oh, ho, ho!
Ah, you want Reg. He's...
Now, Reginald Goldstein, before I take you on a magical trip around the Hebrew homes of Atlanta, partake in the feast I have brought with me.
Yeah, you see...
I have loads of betamt fleischik, some geschmack kugels, latkes, gefilte fish.
Wait! Pardon me, very large rabbi ghost man.
Yes?
You want Reggie. He's two doors down on the left, apartment D.
A shame him dunk, my young Gentile friend. I'll leave some latkes in case you want to nosh.
Hey, mazel tov, big guy. Oh, wait.
Where to the goyim?
Is a gefilte a breed of fish or a method of preparing one like teriyaki? He's gone. Oi. Vey. Well, if I remember correctly, I have one more of these guys left before I can get any real sleep. Now, where'd I put my book?
Very inclusive, very cute. How did that go over?
Oh, that's one of our most popular pieces. Mm-hmm. That has made its way into an Atlanta Christmas for the last several years. It was written by Sketch McQuinner, and it's an audience favorite. The only time we don't perform it these days is when we're doing the original Thomas Fuller traditional and Atlanta Christmas with Thomas's original vision. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of add-on scripts over the years, including Blue Hanna Christmas Carol. Brad here has given us The Legend of the Poinsettia, which is another fan favorite. And so when we're mixing it up, we will include a lot of these fan favorites, including Blue Hanna Christmas Carol. But every few years, we break out the original.
You mentioned Thomas Fuller several times now. Would you fill us in a bit on his role in an Atlanta Christmas?
Well, Thomas was the originator of an Atlanta Christmas. He was an extremely talented writer. And also was an actor, had a wonderful radio voice. He has been compared to the Southern version of Orson Welles.
Wow.
And that's high praise, but I think Thomas merited it. He loved Christmas. He loved writing. He loved acting. He was a good director. And he pulled everything together. The whole concept of an Atlanta Christmas was his idea. And he wrote the script for the very first one. It was originally a stage presentation. And
yes,
we have done it actually as a stage presentation before.
You mean stage?
As a play.
As a play, but not necessarily
audio. Not just audio. But we found it worked better as audio because it has all the vignettes in it, and it's much easier to slide from one vignette to another without bothering to change your costume.
Well, you know, given the nostalgia and the fact that it's uniquely Atlanta or certainly Southern in spirit, there's some very ugly things about Christmas in earlier decades of the 20th century. Do you touch upon any of the racial aspects?
works?
We actually do. We don't have this particular vignette in this year's show, but we have a piece called USO Christmas that is about two soldiers who were going off to World War II. One was black and the other one was white. And they talk extensively about the segregation, about how they met at a USO performance and became fast friends and were upset about the fact that they were not allowed to interact with each other during the war. So, you know, we do have that one piece that touches on it a little bit, and it's a wonderful little piece. It's two actors who begin the piece by just saying, "I've got war stories. Oh boy, have I got some war stories." And they start talking about, "Oh yeah," and it becomes very clear in the script how close of friends they are. And one was fighting in Europe, and the other one was fighting in the Pacific, and they were like, that one Christmas was when they realized that even though this was the way it had always been, it wasn't right. And they have this wonderful little moment where they're like, it wasn't right. And that's when we realized.
Sounds very powerful.
Yeah, they have a short furlough in Atlanta, and they discover they can't go to the same places because of their races. And they find a way around that. They become family.
Oh. Well, you said there's some raucously funny pieces. What are those?
Well, Brad, why don't you tell them about the legend of the poinsettia?
It's a mystery how the poinsettia came to be associated with Christmas. After all, it's a flower from Mexico. You know. And so I decided I'd write a little piece and explain that really in the old times when the wise men were going to visit the child, there was a fourth wise man named Irving.
Are we back on Blue Hanukkah Christmas?
And he was bringing with him a gift of a poinsettia, which the other three wise men don't approve of, because it's poisonous. To which his answer is, it's red. Can it not be a present? Anyway, I thought there was a $5 limit. You're bringing gold, you're bringing frankincense, you're bringing myrrh. I spent the $5 on a poinsettia, and it's red.
Who would have thought? And who knew about the fourth wise man?
Well, Brad did.
There you go. Brad Strickland and David Benedict of the Atlanta Radio Theater Company wishing you a very merry Atlanta Christmas and an Atlanta Radio Theater Company production continues its tradition. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
There will be more information about this online later at wabe.org. You're listening to City Lights.